Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood. Okay, so last night I dreamed that I was in some random neighbor's driveway with Joe and Brock, and I had to pee. And so I popped a squat. We've all done that, right?
No.
Not in someone's driveway, no.
This is a dream.
This is a dream.
Okay, can I interrupt you for just a minute?
Well, because you're embarrassed because I popped a squat in a dream?
No, it's that this morning when I woke up, she said, first words out of Kirsten's mouth is, I'm going to try not to be angry with you today. I'm like, what did I do? I just woke up. She goes, no, seriously. I know you didn't do anything wrong, but I had this dream. I'm really angry with you.
I was really angry.
And I said, nope, it's off limits. You cannot be angry with me because you were angry with me in some dream that you had overnight. That's not fair. So this is the dream.
I popped a squat in a driveway with Brock and Joe, and I don't know why.
You must have really had to go.
I must, in real life, I must have had to go, but I didn't. Anyway, so after I popped a squat, still in the dream, Joe said, we got to go because this family who lives here is going to come outside and they're going to see that I peed on their driveway. So we gotta hustle. So we like go around the corner. And then Joe said, here, Brock and I got to go in here real quick. Just hang tight. And he leaves me hanging. And I'm sitting here in this driveway and he goes into like some other door, like the neighbor's house or something. And I'm sitting there. My heart was like really racing. And then I woke up and I looked at Joe and I'm like, why'd you leave me hanging? I just peed in their driveway. And that's why I woke up and said, I'm going to try not be mad at you. You left me hanging, man.
And I've been in trouble all day. It's been a little edgy between the two of us.
It has not.
The first thing you said to me this morning was, I'm going to try not to be mad at you today. I'm like, for what?
I couldn't believe how upset I was in my dream about it. Like, I was really trying to escape this neighbor, this homeowner seeing that I peed in the driveway. It's so weird. Dreams are so weird. That was my dream.
We need an interpreter. I
know. Where's Joseph?
It is a weird one. I don't even remember my dreams most of the time.
I know you don't. But I wake up and I'll share weird dreams with him all the time. Like, and most of the time, I'm not angry with him. They don't involve him. But I was, Joe, you left me hanging, man. You just decided to go into this house and you left me hanging and I was going to get found out.
Now, if that would have happened in real life, I could very much see myself doing that. Well, honey, if you got to go that bad, just go out right there. And you walk, and then vroom, take off, just leave you sitting there.
It reminded me of,
I won't say who, it wasn't us, but some people that we know and are close to and that don't live anywhere around here, by the way, but they told us this story about how she was having an emergency bathroom situation and there was nothing around. They were traveling down the highway, nothing for miles. So he yanks over to the off ramp and she has to go so bad. She jumps out of the car and you know, you take priority. And she didn't realize that the way she had hopped out of the car in her distress made her very visible to anybody getting on the on-ramp. And this trucker went by. She's like, what do you do? She was exposed to the world.
It's so funny, though, because you're never going to see those people. But we're just human. We're like mortified that anyone would see us.
Well, yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know why this story is the beginning of our podcast today.
I will tell a true bathroom story that's kind of an interesting, I think a really, I don't know if you could ever say that a bathroom story is a beautiful story, but this one is. So I was traveling in Haiti back in 98 and our bus from Port-au-Paix to Port-au-Prince is about an 8-hour ride. And in Haiti, it's hot and they pack you in the bus like sardines. It's a school bus, but there's a bench down the aisle. So they also put two more people in the aisle on top of the two seats on each side. So there's six. Yeah, it's, you're packed in there. It's hot. There's no air conditioning. And they said that they were coming upon a stop for like an oasis, like a, like, oh, okay, I wonder what oasis we're going to stop at to use the restroom. And we get out and there's some little street vendors selling like some produce, bananas and fruit. And there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. And we needed to go. It was a whole group of us from Ozark Christian College. And we're kind of looking around and there was a sweet lady there, local lady, and she didn't know English and we didn't know Creole enough to talk, but we definitely could tell that she was offering her little spot, her, I would call it her home, to use the restroom. And honestly, it was not a bathroom that we are like used to. But it had three walls, not four, but three walls was better than no walls. And it had a bucket. Oh. It didn't have a toilet, but we were so grateful that she recognized we needed that privacy, but the rest of the Haitians did not expect or need that privacy, but we were mortified because we're like, where are we going to go to the bathroom? So we were, like I said, we were headed back to the airport. We all scrounged all of our leftover change that we'd had that was local, their, I forget what they called it, their money. And we gave her our coins and leftover change. And she just started weeping. She was like so grateful. And it, what was pennies to us and really not even any value, she just, she wept. And someone told us later that it was probably a month's worth of salary to her.
That's,
isn't that crazy? So that's my redeemable bathroom story.
Well, it was, if we're going to talk about,
I always will. I will always remember.
Listen,
that.
You just sent me down a whole trail here. Oh, you want to talk about mission trip bathroom stories? I can line them up.
Oh, really?
Well, I remember
you
first,
haven't been to a whole lot of mission trips.
No, I've been on a fair number though, but I've got friends who have shared their stories with me.
I was like, you can't reshare someone else's story. This has to be a personal story.
I flew to Honduras one time to visit a missionary friend of mine down there.
Is this I'm going to one up your story?
No. I'm just saying that I was in the airport and I had to get going really bad. And
wait, you had to get going. I had to go. The airport, or you had to go to the bathroom.
I had to go to the bathroom.
Let's be clear,
really
you're
bad.
At the airport.
So I walk into the bathroom and it's full of women, and I walk right out, and I'm like, did I go in the wrong one? And nope, because there's a bunch of guys at the urinals, very busy bathroom. And so I'm just waiting, you know, and what it turned out to be is those were the cleaning ladies. So they're there wiping stuff down and stuff like that.
So you decided
to
wait.
I just wait. And my friend who picked me up is like, well, you ready to go? I said, well, they're cleaning the bathroom. And he's like, no, they're always in there. He goes, you got to go to the bathroom with those women in there or there's no going to the bathroom. He goes, don't worry. They're not going to pay any attention to you. I said, well, he goes, I know in America, this would never fly. Yeah. But here, he said, just go to the stall. There's like 15 stalls right in a row. He said, just go. And they're going to be in there the whole time. If you're waiting for them to leave, you might as well not go in. And I had to go so bad. And so I went in there and I'm
a very private, modest person.
I walk in there and like, that's the most uncomfortable feeling because there's all these, and they had the little cleaning vest there and they're wiping stuff down. They're bathroom attendants, but they're women.
I mean, they waited till you were finished, right?
Well, I mean, they couldn't see anything. I mean, my back to them, but still just the idea of my back to them and they're not paying any attention to me. And there's 40 people in this huge bathroom. It just, let's just say I wasn't in a Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's are the cleanest bathrooms in the world.
Is it just the states that were so private? Because I was in Haiti, you were in Honduras, and I don't know, I'm thinking through our time in Israel.
They were all individual stalls.
Yeah, but how, like, are we just more private people?
It's just different culture. Just different, I mean,
like in I understand in Honduras, they are paid to keep that restroom in that airport. And it's a nice airport in Tegucigalpa, but they're cleaning up after you messy boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you some of the greatest bathroom stories I've ever heard didn't happen to me at all. I'll tell you two really quick ones, and I won't name names because I want to keep them to protect the innocent.
I might say their name.
So the first story, I still laugh every time I think about it. There's a guy I know. In fact, I look up to him a lot. He's very distinguished. Loves Jesus. He's like,
can't believe you're going to tell his story.
Do you know what story I'm talking about? Yeah. So. And I won't reveal who it is. And I just really look up to this guy a lot.
And I'll drop clues.
No, don't drop any clues. No, seriously. I'm just going to appreciate the story for what it is. So, and I was not there when this happened. He told me about this.
We were sitting at the table and he told us this.
So they're at some event, outdoor event, and there's these row of porta potties. We've all seen them all lying there. And so he goes up and when I say a rope, I don't know. There was a couple there. So he goes up to one, the one that did not have the, you know, you turn the lock and it turns red. So there's one that was green. So he goes up to the one that's green, that's vacant, and he starts to pull on the door, but it's like it's locked. And he's like, what's going on here? And he yanks even harder and it won't open. And he's in his mind, he's thinking it's just got a stuck door. I can't. And so he puts his foot up on the and he yanks and out comes this woman. flying out face first on her tummy,
trying to hold the door
shut. Her draws down at her ankles. Oh. He pulled her right off the pot, right out in front of everybody. Oh. And you talk about the embarrassment. It did not dawn on him that she was inside holding on to the inside handle for dear life. And you talk about embarrassed. I mean, he was so embarrassed because it just didn't register that there was somebody hanging on for dear life on the other side.
Why didn't she let out the scream?
I don't know.
Please, sir. I'm in here. Please. I'm in here.
And listen, you know, there's nothing worse than accidentally opening the door on somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Like on an airplane. Like, have you ever opened? Just lock it. Just lock it. And
I'm going to speak to that real quick. Sometimes it's gross to touch the
It doesn't the matter. Handle. You grab a tissue, you lock
it's
it.
It's one of the reasons I wear shirts.
And like, you know, in an airplane,
blue shirt, you can hold it and then lock
in
it.
In an airplane, to the it. Light won't even come on if you don't lock it.
True.
And I don't understand.
Maybe they like to go to the bathroom in
the
dark. I don't know.
Some of the doors on planes, they're accordion doors. You kind of pull and they don't open in. They just kind of open sideways. And you're like, oh, hello. And... It's always embarrassing. It doesn't matter. And no, but the other story, and this is a completely worthless segment, by the way, on our podcast. So you might as well fast forward to segment two when we start talking about Samson. But
when we start the edit,
oh my goodness,
can we just edit the whole
thing? A friend of mine, he's a big guy like me. Okay. So he was on a missions trip. I won't even say where, but he had a problem. And you know, like if you're with a group and you're out in the middle of nowhere and you've got a stomach problem, and we all know what kind of stomach problems that we're talking about. And he's also telling me this story. I laughed my head off when he told this story after the fact. So he talked, you know what I'm talking about. I won't even say who. So he's having, if you know the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Oh no.
Okay, you know,
please
when
quit quoting movie titles.
you know when
Pastor Joe told me
all these kids that are listening to this podcast right now while their parents are driving somewhere, Pastor Joe mentioned Dumb and Dumber. Can we
watch you know it? when Jim Carrey's character put X-Lax in his buddy's coffee? Anyway, and he had that terrible moment on the broken toilet. Okay, it was one of those. And so he's having a problem. And so he finally gets the driver to pull over, and they pull over at some little shack, some hut thing. And there's no bathroom. He runs out into a rice paddy. Okay. He runs out into the field and just drops it and has a big problem. But okay. I mean, I don't mean to grow. So, you know, last week we asked if we've ever made Abby blush. If you can see Abby, she's like, she's not going to do with this conversation.
She's not blushing. She's mortified.
She is mortified.
She goes, have we really gone?
Let me.
Is this the level we have stooped to for this podcast?
And so
episode 59 might be our last.
So anyway, I'm just going to say this.
Cut.
His underwear could not go back on. Okay. Let me just say that. And so he said,
I think it's so bad that you're telling his story.
He's out in the middle of this rice paddy. and he wads up his underwear and he throws them as far as they go. He puts his britches back on and walks back to the bus, and nobody's the wiser. And he's telling us this horrible story that he had. And he goes, it didn't dawn on me for like a few months that some poor little woman at harvest time probably came across those. And she held him up. She goes, they're the largest pair of underwear she's ever seen in her life. Oh, my goodness. Oh man, my goodness. So
now
Kirsten
wasted so the last
Kirsten has been
of your time.
She's been working hard to not be mad at me today. So Kirsten, how do you like Samson so far? That's the question I asked the church this weekend.
He's a loser.
Yeah, I got
here's the deal. I remember being taught about Samson in Sunday school, and you're right. I'm feeling gypped. Sunday school wasn't the real deal.
They left out a lot of details. No, I asked the church every service. I said, how do you guys like Samson so far? And literally the whole, every service like, and I'm like, well, you know, that's right.
Boo.
And I also used a picture. I used a picture from the movie Samson. Mm. Abby, have you ever seen the movie Samson?
No.
It's a Pure Flix movie, and I've never seen it. I remember when it came out a few years ago, but I've just never taken the time to watch it.
What's Pure Flix?
Isn't that what it's called? Pure Flix?
Yeah.
It's a movie production. Movies. Yeah.
Oh, like an app?
No. Yeah.
Well, isn't it like a subscription service?
Yeah. It's like, Christian, I think, movies? It's like a Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's the reason why I think it's PureFlix is because I watched the movie trailer. When I was working on this sermon, I was looking for some kind of graphic support, you know, because we focus some on the moment where Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. So I thought, well, I'm just looking for any kind of graphic support that would help. And I was on YouTube and I saw previews for this Samson movie. And I thought, I remember that movie. Mm. And so I watched the trailer, and the trailer had that, I could get a screen grab of that where he's standing on that pile of men with the jawbone. I thought, that's a cool picture. So if you watch the sermon, that's the picture I used. But then I also found the clip from that scene on YouTube as well, and I watched it. And it was it was pretty awesome. I mean, it wasn't like some cheap, low-budget Christian movie kind of thing where they're simulating the action. No, they're actually like, it looked like a normal action movie. And I thought, well, based on this clip, I might go watch that movie.
We should watch it.
But here's what I told. Now, I don't think I said this every service, but I know I was at the Highlands campus. And I know at least one of the services out there this weekend, I had said, I don't know if this movie stays true to the scriptures, the scriptural story. I'm cursed with this. I have a hard time watching quote unquote Christian movies because I'm like, that's not in the Bible. That's misinterpreted. You know, still, I struggle with that. And so whenever I see a Christian movie, sometimes I have a hard time appreciating it for what they're trying to do because I sometimes get stuck on the, well, you know, that's not how I see it. But anyway, that's my problem. But
you do get stuck
on
things.
I told the church, I said, I've never seen this movie. I don't know if I can recommend it to you, but this scene was really cool. And so then what was really cool is that later that afternoon, I had one of our families in the church message me and they said, hey, we went and watched the movie this afternoon.
Oh, cool.
And they said, it's a pretty good flick. Although, and I loved it. They said, although I think they portrayed Samson as a nicer, more godly man than the Bible does.
Wow.
And I thought, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that
they can recognize.
Well, they're studying God's word.
Yeah.
And they're seeing, you know, the Bible's going to give you the good, bad, the ugly.
For sure.
And they're going to compare what the Bible says to what the movie was. And they said, hey, we love the movie. We enjoyed the movie. Recommend the movie. But they present him a little bit nicer, kinder, more godly man than what I think the Bible does.
Some biblical truth behind some of those Hollywood movies and stuff. I mean, it helps. It helps having some knowledge of what the Bible says and not just taking it for granted.
Well, of course. And I'm learning to appreciate a movie. I quote unquote Christian, but there's some really good Christian movies out there. But I'm learning to appreciate some of the messages in these movies. I mean, trust me, that's a lot better message than what you're getting in a lot of other movies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes when, like, I joked in the same service this weekend, I said, I I think it was just one service. I said that I've never seen the movie. I may have it only been one service. I identified where that picture came from. So, but I just said, hey, I've never seen that movie. And then I kind of joked with him, you know, I scrutinize Christian movies. And I said, you know, sometimes it's a Christian movie, but it's so far off the biblical narrative. And I said, for example, did anybody see that stupid Russell Crowe movie called Noah? And they all started laughing. I said, that's what I'm talking about. That's a horrible movie. Don't waste your time. The only true thing about that movie, Noah, is that it's about a guy named Noah. And that's it. And I mean, that movie is so dumb.
I don't know if I've seen
it. It's Russell Crowe. It so far deviates from the scripture that there's stowaways on the ark. That's how bad it is.
Stupid? Because some people call that the S word.
I don't know what I said.
Stupid.
You know, that service isn't recorded, so I have no idea what I said.
You're like, so,
Hey, if I know that the video cameras aren't going and the audio's not going, I say whatever I want. You know, no, that's why services run longer than others. The ones that aren't being recorded, I tend to be more free.
Oh, we know.
Well, you know, you guys, we've talked a lot about this. We can't really figure out why some services run longer than others, and maybe I just broke the code.
It's funny.
Cameras are off.
I met a family on this last weekend, and he brought his little baby down to the nursery, and his wife came down, and she said, well, did you tell him that he needs to eat at a certain time? And I said, oh, well, the service won't be going. It'll be done by then. And they all kind of looked at me like, how do you know? And I go, well, it's the recording. And I happen to know that he actually got done on time this time. And then I told them I was married to you.
Kirsten doesn't like to reveal that she's the pastor's wife.
It helps me when I don't tell
people. If she's meeting somebody for the first time.
Then I can complain about that long-winded preacher.
You know, it's funny. She was talking to a first-time guest a while back. And you guys were visiting. And they had said, man, we really love that sermon. That guy can really preach. And she goes, nah, he's all right.
He's okay.
And they looked at her like, what? She goes, he's not really that good.
He struggles.
I don't care for him at all.
It's usually the staff around me that are like, Kirsten.
And she goes, no, I'm joking. He's my husband.
I'm like, what?
No, but anyway, so I asked the church how they like Samson, and there was kind of a groan, which means we are in the Word, because quite honestly, when you get to through chapter 14 and chapter 15, the book of Judges, he's not a likable person. And but we're learning a lot through Samson. But, you know,
last weekend you actually brought a weapon into church.
I was armed and dangerous.
I mean, just like Samson.
Just like Samson. In fact, we resemble each other a lot. I mean, minus the hair.
Yes, exactly.
No, I had some friends when that gave me a jawbone.
Listeners, actually.
And friends, and they go to church here. They knew I was going to be in Book of Judges, and they brought it to me. And I think back in January, they brought it over to the house, and they said, you're probably going to need this.
That's
and
awesome.
So I've been holding on to that jawbone this whole series, just waiting for this sermon. And honestly, there was some debate because I thought this was a mule deer jawbone. It's not a donkey. But somebody told me that it's too big to be a mule deer jaw. So I asked the folks that gave it to me, and they said, well, their understanding is a mule deer.
Yeah.
So it's not a mystery that I have dug deep into, but the guy that told me it's not a mule deer, if there's anybody in this church that would know, it would be him. Okay? There's nobody more knowledgeable than this stuff. Exactly. So if he tells me not a mule deer, but then the people who gave it to me is a mule deer. So there's a mystery. There's a mystery at hand. We're going to have to
have them all into your office to examine it and look at it and decide.
We should post a picture and say, what kind of jaw is this?
I do have a picture of you getting ready to put it in. That sounded bad since we're talking about Samson here. Getting ready to use it as a piece in the sermon. So an illustration in your message.
That's right. So, whatever that thing is, I believe everybody. So whatever, because I don't know anything about it. I mean, I have no idea what kind of, if you were to ask me, just come and say, what kind of jawbone is that? I was like, I don't know. It used to be inside the face of an animal. That's all I know. But it's an awesome looking, it's impressive. Like I looked at that thing, I'm going, who would want to get hit over the head with that?
And it's just interesting to me that those were the weapons back in the day.
It's just what he had.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, whatever that, whatever the jawbone is, at this point, I'm going to say it's a mule deer because who gave it to me said that's a mule deer. And so, and I would imagine that the jawbone of something out of the face of an animal looks different than if you're just kind of, but the guy that told me it wasn't, I believe him too. So,
well, and I don't know if either of us have gone hunting a day in our life.
I've never been hunting.
I don't think we would ever even know what anything.
I would go hunting. If it wasn't in the winter and early in the morning.
Here's the problem with you hunting. I think you would talk too much when you hunt and nothing would come close. And the person hunting with you would be like, hey, shh, be quiet. And you're like, have I ever told you the story about that guy?
He flung his underwear through a rice paddy. But anyway, whatever it is, I'm just so thankful they gave that to me. And it's a great sermon illustration. I might put it in my office now and just keep it on display so people can ask me about it. So yeah, that's what I had to say. Sure. But here's the one thing, and this is kind of where I'm going with all this. There's a question that I proposed to the church for them to consider. And it's this question that comes up with Samson's life. How can God use such a flawed guy? You know, have you guys ever thought about it? I spent a lot of time thinking about this, especially over Samson.
Talked a lot about it in our life group last week.
But yeah, I mean, you have a guy like Samson who is deeply flawed. He's got character issues. I mean, he's arrogant. He's prideful. He's a womanizer. He's disrespectful to his parents. All of these things. And God worked through his life.
Yeah.
And most of the time, he had no idea that he was the one that was doling out God's justice.
Yeah.
So I just have come to this conclusion. This is what I try to communicate to the church, is that God can work through the righteous and the unrighteous. God can work through messed up situations and perfect situations. God is not limited to just people who believe the right ways and do the right things. And you know, if it's what I told the church is, if God only worked through godly people to initiate his plans, then in some ways that's like putting God in a box and limiting him and saying that he is somehow limited by humans.
Yeah.
And God is not limited at all. So this was an incredible reminder for me. And I tried to make it a great reminder for the church, is that God's firmly got his hand on the steering wheel of this world. Mm-hmm. He is working his plan, working his will, working out, doling out his justice and his right, all of that stuff. And he can do it through any situation. And then I take that limitless God, no limits in all things kind of God.
I love that.
And I read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Remember what that says?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him, whom called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In all things. And this is what I ask the church. Do you believe, like, is that where your hope is at? Is that where your hope and faith live, and in all things God? And, you know, is your hope, is your trust in this limitless, all-powerful, all-knowing, in all things God, is that where your hope lives? And I was like, I hope so. That's where I want mine to live.
Well, and we applied it in our life group, even for politics. Like, it doesn't matter who's president. Like, God already knew who was going to be the leader of, you know, whether it be this president or our next president or whatever. God's still working. God's still doing things through that person. And whether we can see it or not, whether we can recognize it or not, I mean, obviously, we're not seeing it because Samson, you know what I mean? How God used the people in Judges to do what he needed to be done. We don't see everything that God's doing.
They were not aware.
And we can't limit God to know, hey, that's why we're called to pray for our president, no matter who it is.
Well, you know, in chapter 14, Samson, he created this messed up situation. And it even says what Samson didn't know was that God was going to use this situation.
Yeah.
God didn't create it, but God was going to use it.
I think that goes not just for such a high level of president, but just our world, everything that's going on. For all this teaches us that God's always working. God's always moving. God's
Absolutely.
Always
and
doing
And it doesn't
things.
Mean just through the church or
sure.
just through righteous situation. It also mean through flawed situation. So like there's a lot of Christians that I know that would look at our current government, who's in charge, who's the majority and all this stuff. And they would say, man, this is a terrible, rotten situation. And I think there's a lot of good reasons why they would say that. But what we sometimes fail to say or fail to recognize is that, what if this was all coming about as part of God's great plan? Mm-hmm. That God was was moving. So I come back to that proverb that I shared at the church, Proverbs 21:1. Mm-hmm. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. And I really try to not look at the world in despair or hopelessness or whatever. And I sit here and go, you know what? God hasn't revealed all of his plans to me, but he may very well be doing something here that's going to bring revival to our mm-hmm. land.
That's right.
And if God is orchestrating things that make, for me, I sometimes look at the world, I go, oh, it just can't get any worse than what it is. It's the worst it's ever been, you know, but then I take a step back and go, but I believe in a limitless, all-powerful, all-knowing God that still caused the sun to go up today, and he has set everything in motion, and he is in control of it all. Mm-hmm. And he may very well be doing a Proverbs 21 thing, mm-hmm. that in the king's heart, in a president's heart, you know, the president, a prime minister, a world leader, mm-hmm. his heart is in the Lord's hand.
Yep.
And God can channel that like a stream of water anywhere he wants. And I sit back and go, okay, yeah. I believe in a limitless God who is in control of all that. And if he's orchestrating things to bring our country to its knees in repentance, bring it.
Well, I think it's why it's important to not freak out. Oh, if this person becomes president, I have to leave the country. If this person gets voted in, I have to do this now. Oh, we should go bunker down. So it's to me, I'm like,
I think the freak out's okay, but then you got to come back to reality. Okay. But God's still in control.
Yeah. We have to know God's going to use this person, whether we wanted him in that office or not. God's still going to use this world leader, whether we recognize that they're a capable person or not, whether we voted for this person or we had any say. God's still going to use this person to do his good. Even in those progressive churches that are absolutely outcast, God's still working.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, I think you got to really wrestle that down. You know, you really got to think on that. But what I told the church, and I'll say it again here, is I would not know how to navigate my life if I didn't believe that God was all those things. Mm-hmm. Limitless, all-powerful, all-knowing. Mm-hmm. If God was less than any of those things, I wouldn't know how to look at the world. I wouldn't know how to look at life. I wouldn't know any of those things. And this is for my reminder for people. Who do you trust? Too many Christians right now, way too many in my opinion, are looking to a politician as their savior.
You can tell we're getting ready for a political year here as we are starting to bring up more
and,
politics. Well,
and I have strong political opinions, but I've got strong beliefs on a lot of things, but I'm not looking for a savior in chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
Whatever. Not original for me. I'm not looking for a savior in chief. I've got my thoughts on what a president should be. But I already have a savior and his name is Jesus Christ and I don't need a second one. Mm. My savior's already done all the work of saving. My soul is secure. I don't put my trust and hope in the hands of any world leader. My hope and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've got strong feelings about things and opinions, but none of that has anything to do with who my savior is. Mm-hmm. And I've got strong feelings of what I think is best for our country. But I already know what the answer is to life's most difficult questions. And the answer is Jesus. So mm-hmm. What's the question?
Joe for president 2024.
Heck no. I have no desire for any of that stuff. I am where God wants me to be. And you know, it's just interesting. And I'll say this here, especially during political seasons like we're in now. I get people all the time that tell me, Joe, you need to tell the church to vote for this guy. Joe, you need to do this. You need to do that. You know, da 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 da. And I usually don't. You know, I will speak out on morality issues and a lot of times
biblical
yeah, issues, but a lot of times biblical and moral issues cross path with the political arena. But I don't ever want to talk about them from a political point of view. I want to talk about them from a biblical point of view. And sometimes people say, you need to tell the church, Joe, you've got some influence. They'll listen to what you say and you need to do this and you do that. And I don't ever tell anybody to vote for it because my opinion has always been this. If you are a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be able to make up your own mind prayerfully about those things.
The Holy Spirit will guide you.
And honestly, that's not what church is for. When we come together, we are there to worship the limitless God who breathed life into this world, who has his hand on. We worship that God. We come together to worship, to be with other Christians, to remember Christ's sacrifice. That's why we're here. If anybody leaves church and they feel like they've been at a political rally, we have failed. Mm-hmm. We have failed. My job.
It happens, though.
My job is not to campaign.
Not at our church. I say it happens.
Oh, it happens in other churches. It happens in tons of churches.
It's not happened at our church, praise
God. My job is to make the Bible come to life and to make people hungry for more.
For God's word.
And to teach God's word, because that is what changes people's lives. Yeah. And so, anyway, so I lovingly just kind of rebuke it a little bit, just lovingly, not mean, but just like, you know, it's not what we're here for. You know, I'm not here to campaign for anybody. I'm here to teach about our Savior, Jesus Christ.
So we're not inviting anyone on the campaign trail to come speak.
like who?
Oh, even local. I mean, I'm sure they would love a platform, but I know we've never invited anyone here to speak politics at our church. So
no,
don't think it will happen ever. But
I attended a service a few years ago. Kirsten and I were traveling, and it was over the 4th of July. And we found ourselves attending a church, a huge mega church. And I remember feeling so like, what are we doing? Because do you remember that, what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They invited, it was a big enough church that they
had a local congressman.
They had the pull to bring in a senator. I think it was a senator or the governor, somebody who was running for office. And they brought him in and they interviewed him and all this stuff. And it was very overtly political. And the whole thing, there was not a sermon preached at all. It was all about kind of what's going on in the country and why this is a better way to see the future and what this person can bring. And we sang patriotic songs. And I remember, this was one of our Christian churches. And I remember walking out and I told Kirsten, that didn't feel right. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, but at the same time,
Jesus' name wasn't really lifted in that.
This politician's name was mentioned more than Jesus' name. And I remember going, I will never do that. I will never confuse our worship environments with a political environment.
Well, I think there's a difference between our building has been used for community type stuff. And they've done like,
we're typically the
Veterans Day and Memorial Day type stuff. And they've invited special guests who are political figures, but that is not our worship service.
No, what I was going to say is we have been the backup facility for bad weather for Veterans Day
and local stuff. Sure.
That happens during the midweek. And we're happy to do that. We're happy to allow our building to be used for certain things. And we had a bad weather thing and they moved it over to our building and the governor of Arkansas happened to be there. And so that's not the same thing.
No.
A Memorial Day event that the governor was speaking at and the bad weather moved him into, it was Veterans Day, not Memorial Day, one of those. And it was an inclement weather thing and we're glad to have it. So the mayor and the governor was over here and I was fine with that.
Poor Samson has turned into a political discussion, but you know.
It happens.
Well, because it is a political season and people want to know, but people also do ask you often, you know, how should we vote or why don't you speak up more on this or say something more about that from the platform? And so we're here to clear the
air. You heard it first here, folks. I'm not here to campaign for anybody. The Holy Spirit will help you make those decisions. I'm here to teach the Bible and help win people to Christ and
bring weapons on stage.
Bring dead donkey bones on stage. But coming back to what I was talking about was, how can God use such flawless situations and people? And the reality is God can work through it all. Yeah. So we have a lot of hope in this world.
Sure.
As a Christian, we're not powerless. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We worship a limitless God who hears our prayers. He's in control. And that's how I recommend living your life. I don't say carelessness or caution to the wind, but at the end of the day, you don't have to wake up every day without hope because we worship the God of heaven and earth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that for me changes everything.
You started your sermon this weekend with a movie line.
A movie line?
Do you remember?
Oh,
name that movie. Don't tell anyone.
That wasn't part of my sermon.
The first words out of your mouth before your sermon.
Okay,
I want to ask our listeners if they know what movie it was from.
Okay, this is a good trivia question.
Because you need to go back and watch the sermon, or at least the beginning. The first 15 seconds was a movie line. Name that movie. That's going to be the challenge. I won't reveal it until next week.
Well, and it wasn't technically part of my sermon. It's the first thing I said when I walked up there. I was carrying a bag.
When you speak, we start, the clock is counting and it is part of your sermon time, but yes.
And you caught me right as I was coming out of my office to go to the worship service, and I was carrying that bag, and you should say, "Hey, you should quote that movie we love."
And
I laughed. I said, "Oh, I will."
You got to quit giving clues.
No, but I need to say the movie line. I said,
No. We're making them go back. We're making them go back and listen to
it. I think this is too hard. I don't think they'll get it.
Well, the challenge is on. So
I'm going to throw it out there. I don't think any of our listeners will know what movie I was quoting.
I know what the line is that he said, but I don't know the movie.
Okay.
So Kirsten said, No, I won't give it away, but that's the origins of it. I was just going to walk out there and just start my sermon.
And we can explain more later, but because the nature of his prop, or as I've referred to it as a weapon in this podcast, I was like, dude, if you're going to carry it up like that, you got to say this. And he's like, Yeah, I will.
And so Kirsten influenced me right before church started about how I should.
So if you wonder if I have any influence, that's as much influence as I have on the sermon. So name that movie.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, not a car show.
How are we starting this one?
I'll start it.
Dun, da, 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 dun.
No,
dun,
stop dun, that. Dun. Stop that.
What?
That's my thing. I do that. Okay. 3, 2.
Oh my gosh.
3, 2, 1.